An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Punisher! Control!
Tell me before I change my mind!
I give you Super Train!
Episode 470. Now, the submission number is 2567, and that was actually given to this show earlier. But I told Greg, you know what? Since this is a special occasion, I want to do a very special episode number. For our intents and purposes, it's 2567. But dang it, I'm giving this the special number of 20,000. Submission number 20,000, even though in reality it's 2567, The Virtual Ed Sullivan Show. The Virtual Ed Sullivan Show aired on UPN one time on May 18th of 1998. Chico wants to do the open live. Go for it.
We're doing it live, pal.
Now, I should note this upload, which was recently uploaded to YouTube 4 days ago, came from the YouTuber Kev the Ripper. And this is a copy from WSBK Channel 38 out of Boston, which at the time was a UPN affiliate. Now, people my age in the Northeast remember WSBK is like a super station out in the Northeast from Boston. I remember watching like Boston Red Sox games with Sean McDonough on play-by-play back in the day. Oh, good times. But yeah, let's play this. Oh, there's a news report about Burger King.
An alleged assault at a restaurant has parents wondering if the sex offender...
Oh, that's terrible.
This is a UPN special presentation.
Oh, this is going to get us right in the mood after that dreary news report. Special presentation with fire. Now, guys, the last UPN special presentation we did was Iron Chef USA. So, we're on a good note here, I think. Maybe?
Question mark?
All right, let's see the opening.
Tonight, from Hollywood, California, it's the Virtual Ed Sullivan Show, featuring appearances by the stars of Ring Into Noise, Ring Into Fun, Comedian of the Year, Jeff Dunham with Walter, Unicycle Sensation, the Red Panda Acrobat, Comedy Troupe, the Burt Kirshners, from Cirque du Soleil's Miss Dare, the Alexis Brothers. The digital comedy of Steve Altman. Australian dance troupe, Tap Dog. Master sleight of hand artist, Ricky J. The flying Karamazov Brothers. Violin virtuoso, Sarah Chang. And contortionist, Malenga. It's the Virtual Ed Sullivan Show. And now, here he is, the star of our show, Virtual Ed Sullivan.
If you thought my old show was really big, wait till you see this extravaganza.
First of all, I want to say that was John Harlan announcing.
That very much sounded like John Harlan, yes.
You know what this looks like, guys? Something you would see like in a late 90s PC CD-ROM game.
We talked about that before the show, and I mentioned to Greg and Chico, this looks like something you might see in like a CDI game. Again, same time frame, mid to late 90s. Yeah, not the greatest of graphics. An attempt was made, we could say.
That's an insult, because this is much more advanced than anything the CDI would ever put out.
There was actually some thought behind this whole pilot here. First of all, it aired on or near the 50th anniversary of the premiere of Toast of the Town on CBS.
The 50th anniversary, I believe, was May of 98, and this aired April of 98, so it was within about a month or so.
On the night this aired, CBS was airing another really big show. The Ed Sullivan 50th Anniversary, A Really Big Show, which was basically just a montage of clips. What this show ventured to do is update the premise for a new generation.
Well, I think we need to go to the beginning just because maybe the listeners don't know who Ed Sullivan is. Yeah, I know we've got listeners who may have been born in the 90s or 2000s, so they may be like, you know, who is this Ed Sullivan person you're talking about? Well, back in the 40s, as we said, 1948 is when Toast of the Town premiered, through the early 70s, this was like the big variety show. This is where Elvis Presley had his famous, like, national introduction, and the censors would not show him from the waist down doing gyrations. That's how risque it was back in the 50s. This is also, and I'm sure you've seen this plenty of times, when Ed Sullivan introduces the Beatles. The Beatles! And all the girls go crazy because the Beatles were just the absolute biggest thing in 1964. But it also launched other careers. I mean, too many to list, but also there are some characters, and actually we're going to see one in this pilot. A character, I don't want to spoil it. When we get to the part of the show where this character appears, we'll get a little deeper into it. They tried something here, but also, and we've talked about this, I believe, in the Tim Conway show, the variety show sort of died around 1979, 1980. This is now close to 20 years later. And really, what variety shows were on television, or at least network television, between, let's say, the early 80s and 1998? That's why I thought, not many. Not to explain why this show may not have worked, because trust me, the variety show being dead as a format is the least of this show's worries. There's a lot bigger problems. But we already talked about that, the CD-ROM-ish graphics from like 96, 97, 98.
Did we talk about how this was created?
No.
Because the first thing you need to realize is that Ed Sullivan is very much dead. And by 1998, we have not perfected cyborg technology or artificial intelligence to successfully recreate Ed Sullivan. The best they could do was put an impressionist in a mocap suit, capture his mannerisms while acting as Ed Sullivan and editing the composite image of Ed Sullivan in post on the screen. So they did just that.
And you know who they used for that? John Byner. Oh, we can get into what he's done. But the thing is, he was very well known for his impersonation of Ed Sullivan. So he did the voice for this virtual Ed Sullivan, but also, again, with the censors that you're talking about, he did the mannerisms, everything you see this virtual Ed Sullivan doing. But yeah, that's John Byner from, among other things, Bizarre. And we love our Bizarre around here, especially Super Dave Osborne.
All right, let's see what else virtual Ed has in store for us. Damn, this image I pulled is at 122. It's like Ed's looking at me like, do you sure you want to hit the play button?
Well, here's the thing. We've all seen old episodes of the Ed Sullivan Show, which, by the way, they air those on Pluto. Isn't he always sort of kind of looking off to the side like his eyes are trying to escape the rest of his face?
I guess.
I got who he looks like. Close your eyes. When I say the name, you'll see it. John Shuck.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I paused it at 125. Do you want me to describe?
Yes, you don't even have to finish your sentence. Yes, please.
It's the back of virtual Ed Sullivan looking at the crowd. It's really horrible. But you know what the backside of Virtual Ed reminds me of? Like on Family Guy, whenever you see like the back of Peter Griffin. Like the silhouette of Peter shot from the back.
But not as big as Peter Griffin, obviously.
No, not as big as Peter. Like you don't see a shot of like the horned Britain grasses that Peter has.
Now, I've got a question, not one that we can necessarily answer, but I wonder if there is actually a host on the show, because if this is just like a talent show or performances for an hour or so with no master of ceremonies, it's got to be awfully bizarre. I mean, there had to be something filling in for Ed or the host or what have you. And thing is, I mean, if you look at the audience in this shot, they all have their heads turned to the left and they're looking at this rendering of Ed Sullivan. It just looks weird.
Yeah, it kind of sort of looks like they were all directed to look to the right, or to stage right, audience left. And from the looks of it, does that look like Studio 33 at Television City? I want to say it does.
I want to say it doesn't. Just looks too big. I mean, it actually looks like an actual theater, like maybe 1,000 people or 1,500 people. That doesn't look like the 300 people that you'd have at 33 or some of the other stages at Television City.
Well, it doesn't look like the Ed Sullivan Theater, which, if you ask me, would have been the better play. But then again, nobody from Paramount asked me, so.
Well, also, it's being occupied by Letterman right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're competing with CBS at that point, and that's probably a no-go. Plus, also, remember, they have this big late show with David Letterman marquee. So I think it would be kind of weird having a show that's not the late show with David Letterman being done at the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Well, they did do Survivor finales there once upon a time.
Now, yeah, once upon a time, I don't think that is necessarily going to work. And like I said, I think the whole CBS synergy thing, you know, UPN is a totally different network. It's Ed Sullivan Theater. Plus, also, it doesn't even look like it. I mean, look how many rows there are here. How many rows are there? I'm going to try and count really fast. Looks like there might be, no, that's a person's leg. Never mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Looks like there's about, gosh, 11 rows of people, 12 rows of people, maybe. Yeah, it's definitely a lot bigger than 33 or 31. If we had end credits, I bet you we'd have the answer to this. Semi-spoiler, we don't have end credits. But that's speculation that, you know, I think we're sort of spinning our wheels right now, trying to determine where it's at. And that's not really the big thing. Like I said, I'm more focused on the fact that everybody is looking towards their left at this unknown entity.
They could be looking at John Cena for all we know, because they are directed to look at a space on stage where Ed is supposed to be, and there is nothing.
Well, now I like the reaction, and this may be thanks to Greg pausing more than anything else. If you look just to the left of the UPN bug, you have a woman. Look at her face. Right there, you have the mouse over her face. I think Chico knows what I'm going to say.
He's looking at Virtual Ed's virtual junk.
I didn't even have to say a word. That's exactly what I was going to say, though. And she's, like, laughing. I don't know how Ed Sullivan would take that in real life. Some woman laughing at his genitalia.
Look at this old guy right here.
Yeah, I'm just looking over here. I'm just going along with the bit right now, so.
I think that's Mickey Rooney down there. Mickey Rooney's wondering why the woman behind him is laughing at Virtual Ed Sullivan's genitals.
Probably because they've never been televised before. You know he does the show from the waist up.
Well, because the censors at CBS didn't want him shaking his stuff like Elvis Presley did back in the day. Isn't this interesting? We're talking more about the audience members than we are about the show itself. Maybe yeah, that's an indicator.
Well, we can't really talk about the show itself because all it is a bunch of, you know...
acts?
Thank you. I was looking for vaudeville was the word I was looking for. It's basically 1998 vaudeville.
All right, let's play this. We're only a minute and 25 seconds into this thing.
And it's a fine theater, too. Our first act features...
That woman was clapping at Ed Sullivan's junk. Okay.
Bring in the noise, bring in the funk. They will perform a drum duet bringing alive the sounds of the city. So here, direct from their national tour, please welcome David Peter Chapman and Dennis J. Dove from Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Funk.
I never thought I'd hear a virtual Ed Sullivan say, bring in the noise, bring in the funk.
Those are definitely words you would never hear Ed Sullivan say.
Now, I love how one of these guys is clearly wearing a 76ers Allen Iverson jersey inside out. Oh, hold on, look at Ed right here. Hold on, at 212. Look, he's moving.
He's moving and grooving. He's getting into it. You know what? Props to John Biter for buying into the bit. You know, he's giving it his all, and so are these guys.
Oh, yeah, they're banging on these cans that they literally got from the Home Depot, I bet. Look how happy this crowd is.
They're either really, really happy, or this is just B-roll, but yeah.
A really, really happy crowd.
Look
at how happy Virtual Ed is.
Virtual Ed 249 is like, can you believe this shit I'm seeing? These guys have drumsticks, and they're literally beating on, like, these buckets.
Obviously, bringing the noise, bringing the funk would have been really big on Broadway and off Broadway in the mid to late 90s. Okay. And they're pointing at where Ed's supposed to be. They're getting into it.
Hey, there's John Cena over there. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. In 1998, John Cena would probably be somewhere in West Newsbury, Massachusetts right now.
Also, you could tell this definitely is not CBS based on that audience shot because it looked like there's a balcony there.
Ah, okay.
And also, the balcony had lights underneath, and I don't think the Ed Sullivan balcony had lights on the bottom. So, okay. Yeah, who knows where this is taking place at?
All right, let's hear Virtual Ed's reaction to this.
Fantastic. He was named Outstanding Male Comedian of the Year at American Comedy Awards. With his partner, they form America's Funniest Ventriloquist Act. Please give a warm welcome to Jeff Dunham and Walter.
Oh my God, folks. Jeff Dunham and Walter.
The Jeff Dunham.
And the Walter. Yeah, you got to say the Walter. Absolutely.
Obviously, Ahmed would not have been invented yet because, duh, it's 1998.
He would have had other characters, wouldn't he? He would have, like, Jose Jalapeno on a stick.
Yeah.
But Walter is his go-to. Let's just get that out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Let me just give Jeff Dunham credit. Unlike that fraud, Uri Geller, he has more than one act.
Yeah, he had Arthur Peanut. Peanut's the name of that guy who was supposed to be like his version of Figment.
I love that we referenced Figment from Epcot.
Well, Greg and I are closet Disney adults.
Well, if you look at the random reel section, I did post a clip of user shared of Figment coming out to Cody Rhodes' theme song. So...
And as you said last week, Cody Rhodes is going to be in the new Naked Gun movie.
Oh, yes. I'm sure Dusty, wherever he is up in the sky, would be very proud about that.
I am almost absolutely certain about that.
But look at Virtual Ed. He's just laughing. He's just loving this.
He's loving this. He's getting into it. He's up in there loving it.
Well, also, at the end of this act, Walter did some repartee with Ed, with virtual Ed, I should say. So they did have like a little bit of dialogue going back and forth. So it's sort of like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon, you know, when Johnny does a joke and he looks over at Ed, oh, yes. Yeah, there's sort of that sort of chemistry kind of sort of going on here.
Oh, let's play this right here.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool what they're doing here.
Water? Great to see you.
Oh, thanks. It's good to see you. Yeah, you're just happy to see somebody that's older than you, Ed.
Walter, will you be nice? Ed is our host. Host? Hello? Have you noticed he's not human? Come on, get real.
Not human. I can do anything your friend Jeff can do.
Oh, yeah. And the IRS is there to help.
Ed, you know, you're just going to have to prove it.
Okay, here goes. Let's hear it for Ed Sullivan.
Now, can we explain what happened?
Yeah, so Ed is just, looking. He's just, you know, making a face. And I don't know if it was Jeff or John in the background, but Thorgan's voice, let's hear it for Ed Sullivan. And of course, this would be easy to do if you are a Dreamcast avatar. Dreamcast did not have avatars. Avatars were not a thing until Nintendo came along with the Wii. Just saying.
Okay, what's this next deck that Ed's going to introduce?
For 5,000 years, Chinese acrobats have dazzled the world with their skill and grace. Our next act continues that great tradition. So let's have a really big hand as they perform their amazing unicycle act. Here from San Francisco are the Red Panda Acrobats. Come on.
All right, the Red Panda Acrobats. Now, Mike, go ahead. Say what you want to say about the Red Panda Acrobats.
Okay, this is something I told Greg and Chico before we started. I said, when you see this, and I think Greg was the one who said, who are the Red Panda Acrobats? I said, if you've ever seen an NBA halftime show in like the last 20 years, I know they've done Cavs games, and I think they did the Cavs game, specifically this female, because it wasn't a whole group of people. I think it was just her, or maybe her and an assistant, but she's done halftime acts like everywhere. I've seen her in highlights for like Houston Rockets games and Knicks games. And like I said, she's done the Cavs number of times. She puts bowls on her leg, on her right leg, and flips them onto the top of her head. And I've never seen her break a bowl. She's obviously very good at her craft. So we're watching it right now, and she's got four bowls and what? Up to Daisy. There she goes.
Hey-o.
And she's got, looks like about 9 or 10 bowls on top of her head, and she's not holding them. She's got her arms by her side because, oh, by the way, she's on what looks to be like a 10-foot-high unicycle. So she can't hold on to the bowls on her head, and they're staying perfectly on there, and she's going to put more bowls on her feet. I think this time she's going to go for 5, and she's going to flip those 5 on top of that pre-existing stack of 9 or 10. And oh my gosh, this kid, Greg froze this at 12 minutes and 15 seconds. This kid looks like she's like fearful that this woman's going to like go to her death or something. She's scared. She's legit scared.
Oh, she dropped one. I've never seen that before. Oh, by the way, Red Panda was actually on season 8 of America's Got Talent.
And not to take away from the end of the show, but Chico and I saw a number of parallels between this and America's Got Talent. So here goes 5 bowls again. Perfection!
Hello! Now,
they're up there. They're not perfectly flush, but she did it. Do we want to talk about the commercials?
Yeah, I do. Or Greg does, too.
Yeah. First commercial we get is a commercial for Jerry Ryan guest starring on Sentinel.
Ooh. He's a finale of the Sentinel.
Oh, yeah. One super cop. Oh, and we get a promo for Dave Thomas and Wendy's.
You know, Dave Thomas wouldn't stand for flex pricing.
Oh, no.
Well, that's why they got rid of it a day after it was proposed.
You know what Dave Thomas doesn't stand for?
When Dave Thomas wants to invade a rival wrestling promotion, he knows just where to go.
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Where's Billionaire Ted? Where is the Nacho Man? That punk can't even get in the building. Me? I go wherever I want, whenever I want.
And where Dave goes is down to WCW. 83 weeks of total dominance served up every single Monday night.
And where, oh where, is Scheme Gene? Because I got a scoop for you. When that Ken Doll lookalike, when that Weatherman wannabe comes out here later tonight, I got a challenge for him, for Billionaire Ted, for the Nacho Man, and for anybody else in WCW.
Turn the channel to TNT every Monday night and hear what Dave has to say next.
Hey, you want to go to war? You want a war? You're going to get one.
Try WCW's new and improved Monday Night Wars. Available for a limited time, only 83 weeks.
Thank you, Joe, for that.
Anyway, we also have a Chex commercial, Food Styling 101, and Bounty.
Of Skittles.
And now back to our really big shoe.
And now a special word from the Bert Firstners.
Hilly, he can eat understand me. That's because I'm speaking the secret language. But he can learn to speak the secret language, and he can teach you. It's as easy as when teach you. Anybody can speak the secret language. It's as easy as win tea. You can learn to speak the secret language in the privacy of your own home, where you exercise with the secret language videotapes, and where you commute to work with the secret language audiotapes. Anybody can speak the secret language, and it's as easy as win tea. Just listen to this satisfied customer.
Hey, my name is Dean. In which case, I cannot understand when we this man will see it. The name, I can't.
The secret language. You can learn it and I can teach you. And it's as easy as we teach you. Even celebrities speak the secret language.
I'm sorry, Chico, he has some sort of like reusable board.
I have my iPad with me.
Oh, that's your iPad. Okay, I thought it was like one of those pads that runs on like a very low-powered battery and you can reuse it millions of times. But he wrote on there, this is dumb. And also, I was taking a look at Greg, and Greg's face, well, first off, he like really leaned into his camera and he was like, yeah, he I don't think knew how to react, which really I think is the perfect reaction because I told Chico this. I think this might be the first time Greg's seen this, but I told Chico, this is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I didn't understand it. And then Chico said, well, they replace all the vowels with long E's. And it's like, that's supposed to be funny? But actually, I was doing a little bit of research before the show, and believe it or not, these guys were supposedly, according to an article by Entertainment Weekly back in 1996, they, quote-unquote, talking about they, the Bert Firshners, planned to shake up New York comedy. Well, they planned. It didn't work out that well. Never have I heard of these guys, and I'm guessing people in 2024, they haven't heard of them either.
Very funny, very funny, fellas. Just great. And now here on our stage, two brothers who perform an amazing hand and body balancing act. They currently star in Cirque du Soleil's Mystère. From Portugal, please welcome the Alexis Brothers.
Okay, this is the homoerotic portion of the show. Just putting that out there, 1830 mark.
We're just, you know, they're hand balancing brothers from Portugal. And
They're friggin' ripped.
I saw this episode and knew immediately. Y'all, I had to go to the gym.
Greg, why did you pause it there? 1924, illicit act.
Well, nobody was watching this, so.
But now they are. At 1924, they're like, holy crap, is that guy? Martha, come here and watch this.
I'm sure the statute of limitations for an FCC violation have long since passed, Mike.
By the way, the Alexis brothers have been performing for 40 years now and are in the Circus Ring of Fame. And they still look ripped. Holy cow.
Look at this lady at 2022.
She's not faking that, I'll tell you that. After the taping, she went home and pulled out a certain electronic device.
Her boyfriend. Anyway.
She's going home and having a really big shoe.
Unbelievable, fellas. Wasn't that amazing? Now, there are hundreds of comics around these days, but only one digital comedian. Please welcome the master mixer of sound effects and laughs, Steve Altman. Come on.
Okay, Steve Altman. Do we have any information about Steve Altman?
Only that he uses a keyboard and his own sort of comedic chops to create comedy.
Oh.
One of his jokes here was actually sort of a rip on a Jack in the Box commercial. You remember that?
No, because we don't have Jack in the Box here.
You don't? Yeah, that's right. Y'all didn't have Jack in the Box in the Northwest Coast, but
Northwest Coast,
Northwest, Northeast Coast. Sorry. Back in the day, on the West Coast, you had these Jack in the Box commercials where people are talking about the food at Jack in the Box, and you have these sort of string plucking bum 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 bum. He's doing a rip on that in this act. By the way, his IMDb page, not much of note on it. He's done A Dog on Christmas, A Dog on Hollywood, and A Dog on Adventure.
Terrific. Thanks, Ed. Fine. That was just fine.
All right. Do we want to describe what's going to happen next?
If you remember earlier in this episode, I said there would be somebody who would be coming out who's reminiscent of a character that was on the original Ed Sullivan show. This is him. Now, if you remember Ed Sullivan, his show, he occasionally had a guest, a mouse, a puppet mouse, called Topo Gigio. This is essentially the late 90s version of Topo Gigio, but not named Topo Gigio.
Just fine. Now, Ed Sullivan, it's me, Max. I can't believe you're back on television. This is the greatest moment since they invented non-fat cheese. Max, well, you must be that little fellow our producers ushered out of the theater earlier today. Aren't you under a restraining order?
Oh, you're my hero, Ed. I want to hang with you.
Would you get off my stage, Max? I'm doing a show. And now we're going to have a fun...
Did you have some work done? You look fabulous.
Where did you hear that?
I'm a rat, Ed. With these ears, I hear everything that goes on in this town. Everything.
I don't want gossip. I want entertainment.
Entertainment? I've got a knack. Watch. I'm a mime. Rat walking against the wind.
Can we bring out that performing cat?
I do impressions. Ooh, ooh. You dirty cat. You shot my brother in the back.
You want to hit the delete button? Don't worry. He's saved on the hard drive. Now,
master sleight of hand artist Ricky J, the flying Karamazov brothers, and Australian dance troupe Tap Dog. When we continue with our really big shoes.
Hot Pockets with their crispy, crusty, tender, flaky crust.
Oh, what are you going to pick? Hot Pockets.
And then we had the commercial for Chex before. Now we have commercial for Chex Mix.
We got a commercial for KFC.
And antihistamine eye drops.
Oh, from Pfizer.
Yeah, we know what Pfizer started making in 1998, too. Okay, Chico knows.
Your boyfriend. No, sorry.
Just ask Bob Dole.
Let's get back to the really big show.
Right now, the internationally acclaimed tap dancing sensations from Australia, please give a big welcome to the Tap Dogs. Come on, let's hear it.
By this All point, right. You can definitely hear that John Biner is starting to get into it.
Yeah. So what about the Tap Dogs? What do we have on the Tap Dogs?
Tap Dogs are a tap dancing troupe from Australia, like he said. And they are still active as of this recording.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Rick is ready? Fine. Direct from his Obie Award-winning one-man show, one of the world's great sleight-of-hand artists performing in one take without camera cuts, Ricky Jay and his 52 assistants. Let's hear it.
Ricky Jay and his 52 assistants?
Yep, they're just playing cards, Greg.
Oh!
He's doing the classic Four Queens trick.
Okay. I was hoping that he'd have like a game of 52-card pickup where he just have like all the cards, just throw them on the stage and just try to pick them all up in like a certain amount of time.
No, Greg, I thought what you're going to say is I thought this is going to be like the Las Vegas Gambit show according to the Dave Letterman show finale. A living deck of cards, it's the Las Vegas Gambit show. Well, you have all the people. And wait, but you have all the people dressed up as the cards, just like waddling on in.
Well, as we know from the finale of the David Letterman show, Dave was watching Las Vegas Gambit. You darn Betty was watching.
Meanwhile, his audience wanted to kill Wink.
Well, you know what? The last laugh, the Tropicana is now going to be no more.
Yeah, that's sad. Mike and I have had great memories of the Tropicana.
I'm just glad that finally the Cohiba 6 room is going to have heat. That was the damn coldest room in Las Vegas.
It really was. I think I lost my Doctor Who hoodie somewhere in Las Vegas.
That was just fantastic. Thank you, Ricky. They're America's best-known Russians. Please give a big hand to the Obie Award-winning juggling team, the Flying Karamazov Brothers.
Okay, the Flying Karamazov Brothers.
Oh, definitely a well-known entity. They're famous. I can't give you a place where I've seen them, but I've heard that name for years.
There's no real flying to their art, but there's a whole lot of juggling and a whole lot of percussion.
Virtual Ed's like looked intensely like, yeah.
And contrary to popular opinion, they are not Russian. They're from Santa Cruz, California, and have been performing from there since 1973.
Yeah, if you go to their website, they're celebrating 50 years of juggling and cheap theatrics. That's actually what I'm seeing. Cheap theatrics, no joke, through their website. FKB.com. I want to say they might have even been on like the Muppet Show back in the day.
They're actually in Muppet Magazine issue 16 from 1986.
I didn't know there was a Muppet Magazine.
The Karamazov Brothers. Come on, let's hear it. I'll be right back with more great acts. Contortionist Malenga and brilliant violinist Sarah Chang, right here on our stage, so don't go away.
Oh, man. Oh,
a very special Moesha. That's yep. So shocking.
She's moving out.
What?
This is only, what, season 3?
Oh, it's a season finale.
Oh, we got Ed O'Neill in this, was it, 10, 10321?
No, it's 1-800-COLLECT.
Oh, 1-800-COLLECT. Okay.
And then we have the Disney's Animal Kingdom Happy Meal with the McRib.
Oh my God, the McRib. I want the McRib.
Well, Animal Kingdom would have just opened in 98.
Correct.
And coincidentally, the meals at McDonald's are made from members of the Animal Kingdom.
No shit, Mike.
The McRib? For all we know, it could be squirrel.
Man, Hat Pockets sunk all their advertising budget for this month onto the virtual Ed Sullivan show, it seems. And Skittles.
And Tylenol allergy sinus, which I could have used a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what's this UPN 38 news scoop?
Tonight at 10, UPN 38 Prime News brings you family favorites.
Your kids want to go shopping, and these are so cute, but your wallet needs relief. Hi, I'm Robin Young. How about checking out the family favorite secondhand store tonight on UPN 38 Prime News?
Okay. Okay, all these dangerous stunts.
It's Wipeout Week on Real TV. Remember when Real TV was a thing?
Oh, God, it was on for quite a bit of time.
I haven't thought about Real TV in like 25 years. Oh, we got a Frasier commercial on UPN 38.
Wait, it hasn't been that long since Real TV was on the air. Has it?
Yeah, I think it has. It's 1998.
I thought Real TV went to like 2000 or 2001. Yeah, actually, taking a look here, it says Real TV was from September of 96 to September 2001.
Okay.
And actually, I think we forgot about this. We know that John Daly, not that John Daly, nor that John Daly, hosted Real TV. But for the last season, do you know who hosted Real TV?
I do. Ooh.
Okay, Chico, chime in.
Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Let's get back to the show.
Next up, we have a 17-year-old violin prodigy from Philadelphia, here to perform excerpts from Carmen Fantasy, the lovely and talented Sarah Chang. Come on, let's hear it.
All right, Sarah Chang. What do we have on Sarah Chang?
Well, on the show, she is a 17-year-old violinist.
And she's so well known that she does have her own Wikipedia page. So she didn't fade into obscurity like that horrible comedic troupe we saw earlier.
She is a soloist from the New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1989. So she would have been eight or nine. She enrolled at Juilliard School to study music, graduated in 1999, and continued her university studies afterwards. So not just a musical prodigy, but a prodigy. And she was signed to EMI Classics and IMG Artists back in the day. Still is, from what I could see.
And Virtual Ed's like, yeah.
Wasn't she just wonderful? Tara, come on over here.
Oh, she's getting called over to see Virtual Ed. Sarah Chang was the youngest artist ever to receive the Hollywood Bowl Hall of Fame Award at 23.
You're just wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it was great having such a fine, talented young woman on our show. Now, why don't you take another bow? Go ahead. Sarah Chang, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Chang. Now, what you're about to see from our next performer is beyond description. Please join me in witnessing world-famous contortionist, Malenga.
Malenga.
Amazing contortionist and martial arts performance artist. Kelvin Ooh. Gordon, also known as Malenga Mtakata, on this show is putting his entire body through not one, but two tennis rackets.
Damn.
Damn.
And now he's putting himself in what I'm guessing is about a 1 cubic foot perspex cube.
It's a box.
Well, a cube is a box. I think it's a little bigger than a foot. I'm guessing maybe definitely no more than 2 feet, maybe 18 inches. You know who definitely fit in one of those boxes?
Who?
Billy Birdie. And Joe Gibb. Together.
And Arturo Gill.
Malinga is off to Vegas. We're federal expressing him. Make sure he's there before 11.
Now that was good. I'm sorry.
I like that.
Good compared to what? I didn't like it.
It was good compared to his earlier material?
Oh, guys, this commercial coming up.
You never met my big Italian family, but they love you already. So tonight, they'll share with you a fresh salad this big. Then pass around the baby pictures. They'll share baskets of soft garlic breadsticks. Then pass around the baby. What they have, you can have. And that's how the Olive Garden feels. They call it Hospitaliano, which means everything of ours is yours. That's my cousin. She wants to share your dessert. The Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
Virgil wasn't part of the family there.
Cheese it up.
What do we have here?
And actually, I think it's very funny. Greg has this paused. I don't know what this commercial is about, but I think this guy is like totally shocked at what just happened because he's got a whistle that looks like it's going to slip out of his mouth. He's in shock of our little Virgil and Cheese It Up jokes after that.
Well, let's see what he's really... Oh, yeah. He's cheesing it up because this is a toothpaste commercial. He wants to keep his breath fresh for the ladies. And when he mentions the ladies, he of course means teaching little girls how to swim.
Yeah, we should note that he's a lifeguard.
I got the blues. Kraft macaroni and cheese. The blue box blues. Excedrin migraine. Tyra Banks for CoverGirl with Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers. And Cinny Minis from Burger King with Minnie Riperton's Loving You in the background. Obviously, we can't play it, otherwise we would.
Oh, what's on UPN 38 News?
Tonight on UPN 38 Prime News. Are you looking for the home of your dreams? Today's red-hot market is driving prices through the roof. We'll shop around to find the best bargains in the best neighborhoods. Home, cheap, home. On Prime Report, tonight at 10.
Okay, just get it out of your system, Mike. They said Dream House.
From Dream House, Bob Eubanks. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, but I thought you were going to say something about Dream House, the show, not that.
You didn't think I was going to do my lame Johnny Olsen. Okay.
Hey, guys, what the hell is this shit about a virtual Ed Sullivan?
They ought to do a virtual version of you.
That's right, they should. Hey, guys, look at this commercial for Seinfeld. Oh, yeah. You got all the greatest hits in this commercial. You got George, I Was in the Pool. And, of course, you could ever forget Jerry stealing the marble rye.
Jerry Seinfeld, in 1998, you're thinking to yourself, his shtick is never going to get old.
Well, he just released a Netflix movie today that's an allegory for the space race with Pop-Tarts.
If you read the reviews for that movie, some reviews have called it the worst movie thus far in the decade.
But you know what it gave us? The return of Strawberry.
I was hoping you were going to say the return of the Pop-Tarts at the Pop-Tarts Bowl going down the big toaster. Dreams really do come true.
Yeah, but he was at the premiere, Strawberry. You didn't see him? I posted it on the Instagram
page. I saw it. I actually saw bits and pieces of the Pop-Tarts movie. And I'll tell you something. It's not comedy that's the problem. It's Jerry Seinfeld. He's 90s funny. It's 2024, though. You gotta class it up.
Hey, speaking of stuff that may have been funny in 1990, but isn't funny now.
Now, another word from the Burt Kirshner.
Also, we should add, this is going to abruptly end, so don't be surprised if it just cuts off.
Hi, Mrs. Roth.
Hello, Timothy. How are you?
Fine.
David, Timothy's here.
Hi. Hi. So you coming to play baseball with us after dinner?
I can't. My mom's making me clean my room.
Oh, man.
I'll be at the baseball game, Timothy.
What?
I'm speaking the secret language, see me mean, can't understand.
And beat the baseball game, you can beat him.
Beat your mean, you can clean your ear.
That's what she thinks.
Baby, what do you mean? I'm going to take the vacuum cleaner, turn your ear. Pin it in and then escape through the window.
That's a great idea. See, hit the game.
Be. Now, where do we keep that vacuum cleaner?
It's in the closet. It stays. Even names can speak a secret language.
Uh-oh.
What is uh-oh, but in Italian?
Chico had it right with his iPad. It's still dumb.
And well, that's how it ended.
Well, it was more abrupt than that, but yeah, the recording didn't have closing credits, and it actually just ended at some point in that skit, a little bit further than where we ended it. But yeah, this was trippy, I think is one word you could use. Bizarre in terms of the X they had on there. I don't get what those Burt Kirshners, whatever the heck they are,
the Burt
their
Burt
deal Burt. Is. Whoever, I don't even give a flying shit because I'm not going to think about those idiots again in my life. You know, like I said, nobody knows who they are. And even right now, at this point of their lives, they probably don't know who the hell they are. They've been more successful than me, but still. This was just all around really, really goofy. And you can see why this was a pilot. This is a one-time thing because I don't know if it was just to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the Ed Sullivan Show, Toast of the Town, but this is horrible. It's out there. It literally just popped up, as Greg said earlier this week, or earlier last week once you hear this. So you can catch this and judge for yourself, but I think this was very ambitious in an era where the variety show was dead, but they're trying to play around with new technology. And boy, imagine if they waited 25 or 26 years, what they possibly could do with AI nowadays. Since AI fakes voices all the time, I mean, it could be done ethically or unethically or whatever, but this, thank heavens, in 1998 was a one-time only thing on TV.
Do you know what this went up against? The series finale of Murphy Brown.
Oh, boy. And even at that time, Murphy Brown was sort of limping to the finish line. Its best years were definitely behind it. And I remember they're like really scraping for material back in like 97, 98. Yeah, it's funny when they could, you know, do jokes about George Bush and Dan Quayle, but there's a sense of normalcy in the White House in 1997, 1998 to a point, because we know what Bill Clinton did, supposedly. But I did want to thank friend of the show, Brian Henniger, for pointing this out. He found it or saw a link about it on like Tuesday or Monday. And I immediately told the guys, I said, I'm going to play an audible. As much as I want to cover a pilot that we're going to put on the back burner to at least next year, if not just maybe shelving it all together. I said, we got to cover this. This is definitely something. An effort was made. Let's say that. Well, you know where else an effort was made? That's a bad transition, but hey, let's see what happened 40 years ago on Match Game Hollywood Squares.
It's time for This Weekend Match Game, Hollywood Squares, our history.
We are up to week 28. And this week in the squares, we have Christopher Rich and his wife, Nancy Frangione, David Forsyth, Marcia McCabe, Leanne Hunley, Deidre Hall, Wayne Northrup, and John Delancey. Chico, say what you need to say.
Did you know I went to college with John Delancey's kid?
No, just like we didn't know that Greg's favorite TV show is Wings.
Yeah, can you believe that it's now officially 170 episodes? It's the first time they've ever mentioned I Love Wings.
Special shout out to Keegan Delancey. What's up, buddy?
And what was your movie Wings that you talked about like 2 weeks ago?
God, I don't even remember.
Man, so memorable. Go back. I think it was like episode 467. It's such a great joke and great line that Greg totally forgot about it.
It came back to us. Greg's movie Wings is Dragnet from 1987.
And now that we've got the obligatory I went to school with John Delancey's kid out of the way, what happened this week? Well, now they did a little change to the bumpers going in and out of commercial because now they added Gene and John's heads onto the silhouettes. There were silhouettes of 12 just random faces, but two of them now have Gene and John's heads, or one each, I should say.
And I love that John's thing with the silhouette is him doing the Bowser pose.
It wouldn't be any other way. That's what he's known for. And as I mentioned last week, we have plugs for the second telephone match. And also, in case you don't recognize some of the names, like when I mention the names, I'm like, who are a lot of these folks? It's NBC Soaps Week. And we had primarily one champion for the entire week. Started on Monday, retired on Friday, retired with $31,075. Arla Kinnear. Kinnear? K-I-N-E-O-U-R. Kinnear. Whatever. She left with a lot of money. In terms of big wins that week, again, they're all by Arla, but you only had two wins this week. She won $20,000 with Christopher Rich on Monday, and then on Thursday, she won again with Chris, but for $5,000. So, yeah, she got the lion's share of the money that week, $31,000, a little over $31,000. Next week, oh, good. It's another theme week. And I think this is the last theme week of the entire run. We had the Leave It to Beaver week. We had Too Close for Comfort week. We said this week was NBC Soaps week. We had St. Elsewhere week. I believe this coming week is going to be the last theme week. We got some legends on the show coming up next week. But for now, let's close everything out. Why, thank you, me, for the Match Game Hollywood Squares update. As always, remember, you can go to our website at itwasthingontv.com and you can listen to our previous 469 episodes. And trust me, some of them are nice episodes. Surprised neither of you chimed in with that, Chico. But also,
don't
forget...
Did you not listen to the intro from Monday's episode?
I did, but I thought you, anytime you hear that number, you would put your 2 cents in. Apparently, I'm wrong about that. I'm sorry.
Well, do it again so I can.
Okay. So again, you can go over to our website at itwasthingontv.com where you can listen to the 468 plus one episodes that preceded this episode.
Say it right.
Say the line, Bart. 469 episodes.
Nice.
Are you proud of yourself?
Very much so.
Damn it. But also remember, in addition, we have mini-sodes, live shows, extended versions. We've been looking back at some of our long ago episodes being re-released, those are a holler and a hoot. Even listening to like the last episode, the college comedies of 1979, good heavens, that was a hilarious episode, even though there are three bad shows on there. I got one word for you. Zipper! But also, please remember, on top of the website, we're also on social media at It Was a Thing on TV, except for Facebook. Please do remember, we are at It Was a Thing on TV podcast there. And remember, if you want to search for us on Mastodon, you've got to search for us at It Was a Thing on TV at tvwatch.party. Greg, do you have anything you want to plug this week regarding Place to Be Nation?
Well, as you know, the Friday drops are on there, of course, on the pop feed every week. And I just recorded a new episode of Wrestle Tracks with my co-host Scott Griscola, where we live watched WCW Spring Stampede 1994. So you get a Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat main event. And anytime you get that, that's terrific.
Superb. So please go listen to that. But also please remember, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever fine podcasts can be streamed, including Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Audible. Independent podcast players, they work superb. Feel free to follow us on any of those. And also Podbean, since we're hosted on Podbean, you can download the Podbean app and we're right there. But also, please don't forget, we're also on YouTube where you can like and subscribe to our channel. And please do not forget to hit that notification bell to be informed of all future uploads on the channel, including what's coming up next time. Well, we are going to enter week two of Pilot Month. We're going to get personal next week.
It's not a game show. It's not a talk show. Frankly, I don't know what the heck it is.
No, it is a game show, or at least has game show components. But the crazy thing is, this show has, I think, two Hall of Famers, but really, potentially, at some point in time, that number could be as high as four. Four It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Famers, present and future. That's got to be a good show, right? We'll find out. But also, we're going to cover a pilot for actually a more traditional-ish game show of sorts that actually got to air like 5 years ago. And I don't know how the other guys feel about it, but I thought it was a very good show. The host, perfectly chosen, but also I believe the host actually created this game, this format. I loved this show back, like I said, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was on. But the pilot was a little different. How? I guess we're going to have to stick around next week for two new episodes in Pilot Month right here on It Was a Thing on TV. As always, thank you very much for listening. Be kind to each other. Stay safe. But most importantly, come back here for those two episodes starting on Monday. Greg, give us a big rawr.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've had this young man on our show before, and he's come back here to introduce his very good friend, Super Dave Osborne. So, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Dar Robinson.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to be back. I can't wait. What is Super Dave going to do for us this week?
Well, I'll tell you what. He's going to do the most unbelievable thing with a car that has ever been done. In fact, to tell you the truth, I don't think it can be done.
Uh-oh.
But
that's our Super Dave, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Super Dave.
So, all right, let's get right to Super Dave Osborne, and thank you very much for coming by.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
It's nice to be here.
Here he comes now, Super Dave Osborne. Just a moment, if you will, please. This wild jump of yours or this amazing ride, frankly, what does it entail?
Well, Tom, it's the ultimate test of the human body, I believe. I'll be traveling up and down a track, especially designed in a smallish metal car or container, at approximately 150 miles an hour. Halfway through the ride, I will attempt to go through a complete 360-degree turn at 5 G's force.
Now, this may sound like kind of a silly question, but what are your chances?
Well, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think my chances were very good, Tom. They've told me if everything goes as well as it should go, it'll be fine.
Dave, how would you compare this with Evel Knievel's jump over the Snake River Canyon?
Well, Tom, I'm not going to stand here and put down Evel Knievel. What Evel Knievel did enabled me to have CTV cover this and for me to get the money I'm getting. The last jump Evel made, he said it was a life or death jump. He had a parachute, he was jumping over water, and his capsule failed, and he lived. I've been told that if my capsule fails, I may not be quite as lucky.
Dave, one thing before you go. Really, you are risking your life. Why are you doing it?
Well, Tom, people say that anybody will do anything for money. Well, $300,000 is a lot of money to me. I couldn't have made it any other way in my life. And I feel that by doing this, if I make it, I'll make a lot more than $300,000. If something happens, my family will be taken care of, and I'll have lived the way life the way I want to live it.
They're waiting for you. Thank you for the few moments, Super Dave, and good luck to you. I hope it's a great ride. Thank you, Super Dave Osborne. Fine round of applause for Super Dave Osborne as he's getting ready to get into his car. As you can see, 2-inch steel-enforced leather strapping is being used to secure Dave in the car. If the car should leave the track, I'm afraid Super Dave Osborne will leave with it. He has special magnetic shoes that'll cling to the bottom of the car for extra protection. Other bits of his protective gear, why, the gloves he's wearing are burn-proof aluminum covered in wind-resistant asbestos. His helmet is made out of galvanized iron with a shock-resistant plastic alloy. Final preparations.
Make sure it's tight.
One final pull on those straps, keeping Super Dave in. All right, sure I think tight. They're about ready right now. There's a camera placed directly on the car so that we can follow this ride.
Ticket, please.
We're going to follow Dave with picture and sound as he's able to communicate with us. How does it feel up there so far, Dave?
Everything seems A-okay. I'll know more when I get to the top.
We're making our ascent now. The car feels a little shaky. The track goes up a little higher than I thought it did. Yeah, I'm getting a little sick to my stomach. Now we're going down. Oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. Can we stop this? Can we stop this? Can we stop this? Tarp. I see the camera's moving, too. If the camera comes loose, what's going to happen? Can we stop it before we go into the 360? We're going into the 360. I can't take it. I can't do it. Oh, God. Bleeding? No. Oh, God. I think I'm bleeding out of the nose. I can't tell.
He came out of the 360, still in the car. Dave, can you hear us? Dave, signal if you can hear us. We seem to have lost communication with Super Dave. Gentlemen, make sure we've got the doctor ready when he gets back down. We're almost through. And remember, you're watching this live, ladies and gentlemen, we hope. He should be coming in the next 15 seconds. And here he comes.
Super Dave. Super Dave.
I need a doctor.
I am your doctor, Super Dave.
Doctor, how is he?
I think he's going to be all right, but we won't know for about 24 hours.
Can I talk to him for a little bit, Doctor?
Not for very long.
Super Dave, how do you feel?
I need a doctor.
You've got a doctor with you, Super Dave. Tell me about the ride. How was it?
It was awful. I wouldn't do it again for 10 times the money. I shouldn't have done it. It was a big mistake. It's done. It's over with. I'd never do it again. I just can't wait to get out of here and be with my family and... That's about all I can say about it. I just would like to get out of here now and
All right, Super Dave, hang in there. There you have it, the near successful ride of Super Dave Osborne, an event he'll certainly remember for a long time to come.
Hey.
Live from Magic Mountain, this is Tom Kelly returning you to our studios.
Hey, jerk!